Blog Talk Radio.
Wake up! It's time for Just Chicago's Neighborhood Talk with Clifton Pierce. A Canon Media and Axe Entertainment Artists Inc. production.
Hello, good evening, everyone. You are live listening to the Justice Chicago Show, hosted by Clifton Pierce. This is Candace Carey, tuning in live on the air tonight. We have an array of guests this evening, and to no further ado, I want to introduce the man of the hour, Clifton Pierce. How are you?
Hey, Candace, how are you, dear?
Good, I'm well.
Okay, listen,
I'm excited
how's the weather there in Florida?
You know, it's warm, warm. You know, we had some rain and stuff like that when I flew in, but other than that, it's warm and about 85 degrees. And what's the weather like in Chicago?
It's a little chilly, baby. It's a little chilly. But by us being in Chicago, and we're used to weather changing. So we got our long drive one day. And matter of fact, it's supposed to be 70 degrees sometime this week, but right now it's 30.
Wow, okay. That must be invigorating.
Hey, listen, I'm going to do a little rhetoric about myself tonight, but who I really want to bring on first, because she's pressed for time. Her name is Josephine Wade. Miss Wade is a historian as far as the black community is concerned. Years and years ago, she was with some of the black men that created the economic engine that drove the South Side, and even had a nightclub at the time. But she's always been a cook and a caterer. And right now she has one of the most prominent restaurants on the South Side, and it's called Josephine. Some of you all may know it as Josephine's Hard Time Restaurant. So without further ado, even though me and her fight like dogs, we both love each other, and I'm going to bring her on now. Miss Wade?
Good afternoon. How are you?
Great. Okay, tell them a little something about you, Miss Wade, your background, your history. And let me say something else about Miss Wade. Miss Wade is double-breasted. Whether you come from the sidewalk or from the White House, she can talk to you.
I don't know about all that. But I am glad to see you prosperous and have a show. And that's what's wrong with most of us. The Bible said we should be a people that should perish for lack of knowledge. So we can never not have enough TV exposure or radio communication exposure. And what's the dialogue that goes on in the African-American community? And I'm glad to see you with this show, along with Susan Coleman Hartman and her show that she also had last night. Now, what is our topic that we are talking about here for the day? What is our topic that we're talking on?
I'm sorry, say that again, Justine.
I said, what is the topic that you want us to expound on today?
I basically want you just to talk about the fact that you have a restaurant that you've been in business over 30 years, and this pandemic, what is it doing to the restaurant industry here in Chicago? You got a restaurateur like Rick Bayless, one of the biggest restaurateurs in the city of Chicago, and he's talking about closing down because he can't pay his people with this restrictions that we're under.
Well, my thought about the whole thing is, Cliff, black restaurants have always been under the siege ever since we left our community when they allowed us to go into our counterpart restaurants. It appeared that all African Americans would drive across town rather than walk down the street or up the street and do business really among ourselves. So to me, we've been on an epidemic not just since March, but for the last, I would say, 10 or 15, 20 years with black restaurants. It used to be back in the day that we had Army Lou's, Gladys, Isola's, and those places, and they stayed packed, they stayed supportive. And right now, African American restaurants suffer because we have a stigma about our business, a stigma about our neighborhoods, and we heavily support other people that really don't look like us. And it's a shame, but that's society. But the way that the academic have hit us, we have to comply to what the governor says and what the mayor says. We had just got up and running, and if the academic is what it says it is, well, then we have to comply to what he says. And it is a shame for people that work for you, for your employees, for yourself, for the whole distribution. And the whole world really is in the seeds as far as moving forward. And this is something that I just feel as though that happened, and God have gotten our food. And it's not only hurting us, but it's hurting across the board.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me say this, Josephine. Our radio program goes from Canada, Germany, Africa, Mexico. We go all over the world. And what you have to say about starting a business, and why is it that black people today don't want to go in business? What stops them from wanting to have their own? What's wrong with that?
Well, I think everybody has a dream and a fantasy. I remember when I was a girl, 16, I looked in a magazine, and that determined my lifestyle to what I want to live and where I want to go. So I won't tell anybody to stop dreaming and thinking whatever that their goals are and achievements is not accessible to them, because that's not true. You can be anybody that you want to. You just have to put the effort to be it. And going in business for yourself is not easy. If the dishwasher don't come to work, that's your job for that hour. If the cook don't show up, that's your job. So you have to be prepared to do whatever it takes to make your business work, because this is something that you chose for yourself to do.
Okay, one more question before we let her go. I don't care who you are, if you're the premier of Russia, China, or whatever. Everybody wants to come to Chicago. So I want you to tell the people about our first black mayor, Harold Washington. What did you know about Harold Washington?
Harold Washington was a people person. And Harold Washington, I think, is kind of like me. I love everybody. I don't care about the race, the color, the creed. I'm just a people person. And to me, everybody wants to be treated right. And Mayor Washington was a giant when it came down to working with people. And he worked with all people and all nationalities. And this is why he became who he was to be mayor. He had some of every nationality in his platform and in his cabinet. And he did an excellent job when he became mayor of Chicago. I'll never forget when we had a fundraiser out at Indian Head. It was so many people. So we didn't even have places to put them. Barbara Jones Green, Judge there. I mean, it was just the carousel. I mean, it was just so many people, and people were enchanted. And we spoke as one Chicago, and Mayor Washington have always spoke as one Chicago, and not a separate Chicago. And when Mayor Washington became the mayor, that's when you saw the diversity in City Hall and downtown.
Well, let me say this to my listening audience. You had an opportunity to talk to a living legend. You know, last year I was able to honor Dr. Conrad Wuerl in regards to honoring him for the work he's done in the black community. So I felt like I gave him his flowers while he was still living. And I say the same thing when it comes to Miss Wade. Miss Wade has helped so many people that you don't even know about. And we're just fortunate to have her still with us today. So on behalf of the black community, I just want to say thank you to the world from one of Chicago's very own, Miss Josephine Wade. And those that know her, we call her Mother Wade. And I want to thank her for being on the show today. Thank you, Miss Wade.
Cliff, I just want you to regress a minute. You remember Happy Hour was started by Jimmy Rushing at the Dating Game. And now we don't have Happy Hour in our community. Most things back in the day that started with us is no longer here. So we got to go back and look at how we can restructure to bring joy back to our neighborhoods rather than all of this killing and pain and suffering. And that's one thing that I miss out of my community. You used to come in and you could see President Scrooge in here. You could see Harold Washington in here. You could see Mayor Jean Sawyer. And along with the white candidates, Leroy Martin, they were heavily active within the communities, West Side and the South Side.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me say this here. In 1991, I worked for the Chicago Defender, which was a black newspaper here in the city, the black newspaper that was started by Mr. John Abbott back in the days. And in 1991, I wrote an article. At that time, John Sinstack was the editor of the Defender. And I wrote an article, and when I got to work, they told me Mr. Sinstack wanted to send me upstairs. Well, you don't go upstairs to see Mr. Sinstack, so I knew he was going to fire me. But when I got up there, he said, young man, you wrote an article that we're getting a lot of calls on. I want you to explain it. I didn't want to hear all that. I just wanted him to fire me so I could go. And so I said, well, sir, what's the article that I wrote? He said, you wrote an article in here about the worst thing that ever happened in our community was integration. And that's so true today. I was right on point then. You know, on one block, you had the doctor, you had the lawyer, you had the police officer, you had the school teacher on one block. Okay? Not only that, but the white man's ice is not colder than a black man's ice. You know, somehow or other, we want to spend money with people that don't look like us. We need to come back home. How could I grow up in a neighborhood that was able to send me to college, and then instead of me coming back to that neighborhood, I go somewhere else to live? If you drive a car and don't put no gas in it, it will stop running. So we're going to have Josephine say one more thing, and then we're going to move right along. Ms. Wade?
Well, I wouldn't go to say whose ice is colder, but the Bible said we have not because we've asked not. And I know back in the day, our neighborhood was functioning because we had our bakeries, we had our hardware stores, we had our candy stores, we had our grocery stores. Our churches have always been a pillar, along with our funeral homes like A.R. Leak and Raina Funeral Home. And I don't want to start naming funeral homes and say the wrong names because I know all of the funeral directors. But those were our pillars, and we did business and worked among ourselves. And any time that we can't grow our own economic development, we can't look for someone else to come in and do it for us. I think what's happening today, Cliff, is we have too many outside people comes in our neighborhood, don't support it, don't bank in our neighborhood, and don't support our little league and our seniors and things of that nature. And any time that you take money out, take it in one sense, and don't deposit it into a bank that's in that neighborhood, it changes the yield, and then it makes our borrowing power go down there as far as lending institutions. I remember when BP came to open up at 79 and King Drive, and Mr. Washington Burney was over the Chatham Business Association then. We didn't allow people to come in our neighborhood and open up unless they came through the committee, and then we told them what they could put in and what they couldn't and what they had to support. And now our borders now is free for all. You come in where you fit in, and you take out and don't put nothing in. And I think that's the problem in our neighborhood. We don't have the money support and the backing support, because when people that come in and don't bank in our neighborhood, you don't deposit into the neighborhood.
Okay, you heard her. So listen, once again, we're Hard Time Restaurant. We're in Chicago. We're at 79th and 436 East on 79th Street. And believe it or not, the building that we're in was built by Elijah Muhammad. This is where the Muslims had their bakery at. This is where Ali met his wife at. So we have a historical restaurant, and you never know who may come in, just like you may never know who comes on my radio show. You may never know who comes in Hard Time Restaurant. And all of you people out there that are listening, all you people in other parts of the country, when you come to Chicago, please come by and see us. And that's 436 East on 79th Street, and that's Joseph Reed's restaurant. So I want to thank her so much for being part of our guest list tonight. Thank you so much, Ms. Wade. And those of you who are also guests on my show, you must punch one in order to get on. You must punch one. So who do we have right now, Candace?
Are you experiencing hair thinning at the hairline or balding edges due to wigs, weaves, or protective styles? Then the Good to Grow Edge Resuscitator is for you. Good to Grow's complete hair growth system strengthens the hair from the follicle, stops breakage, promotes thicker, fuller, and healthier looking hair. Good to Grow helps repair existing damage and protects against new damage from styling. Good to Grow works underneath wigs and weaves to nourish and soothe dry and itchy scalp. Good to Grow's all-natural ingredients for men, women, children, relaxed or naturals, all hair types and styles. Get Good to Grow today at goodtogrow.com. That's good, the number 2, GRO.com.
All right, Candace. All right. Listen, let me tell you something about this company, Good to Grow. So many of our black men became millionaires, soft sheen products, and Mr. Ed Gardner and Mr. George Johnson and Ernie Durham. So today, Bill Grayson, this is his product, Good to Grow, the number 2 Grow. It was a hair product that his grandmother, if I believe, had the formula for it. And I know for a fact that it actually worked. And so I want to welcome him aboard as being one of my sponsors. And I don't care how big we get, there's always going to be a door open for Mr. Grayson. Is he on the phone now, as a matter of fact?
Hey, Cliff, how you doing? I'm here.
Hey, Bill, how are you tonight?
I'm well, Cliff. How you doing today?
I'm great, Bill. One of the first things I want you to tell these people is that this hair product that you got, how can they access it? How can they buy it?
Oh, Cliff, it's easy to access. All you got to do is go online and go to good2gro.com and look at our website, and we're sure you're going to find something that you need.
Okay, that sounds great. Listen, I haven't talked to Bill about it, but once again, I want to say thank you because he's one of my first sponsors, so the door is always going to be open to him. And I haven't talked to him about it, but we're going to conduct a Good to Grow model. We're looking for a Good to Grow girl, okay? And you're going to win a supply of Good to Grow product for the Christmas holiday. You're going to get a weekend downtown at the hotel of your choice. And you're going to get supplies and everything, and it's going to be sponsored by Good to Grow along with Jet Chicago Radio. So, Bill, I hope you're on board with that.
Absolutely, Cliff.
Okay, great. So, once again, I just want everybody to realize that let's spend money with our own people. Mr. Grayson lives right here in Chicago. Matter of fact, he's my neighbor. And not only that, but he's just a real good guy. So just think that every time you put something on your hair, you'll be putting on a product that's owned by a black person. That's a good person. So once again, on behalf of Just Chicago, I just want to say to Mr. Bill Grayson, thanks aboard, and I appreciate you being one of my sponsors.
You're welcome, Cliff. I'm glad to be here.
Okay, is there something you want to say to the people, Bill, before you go off? Okay, Candace, who else we got? Candace? Okay, I'm
hey,
listening.
We have Aaron calling. Aaron Collins, welcome to the
Aaron
show,
Cohen,
sir.
Yes, hi.
Hi.
Okay, Aaron, listen.
Yes, hi.
Aaron forced his way on my show. That's the only way I'm going to
well,
put
not
it.
Not really. I'm just a fan. I'm a fan.
Yes. Aaron is an authority on music, and rather than me tell you about him, I'm going to let him tell you about himself. Aaron?
Well, thank you very much. It's really a pleasure to be here, Clifton. I really am a big fan of your show, and we have a lot of mutual friends as well. But the reason why I'm on the show is to talk about my book, Move On Up, Chicago Soul Music and Black Cultural Power, which came out shortly before the pandemic. And my book looks at the social and cultural and musical changes that contributed to the growth of rhythm and blues music in Chicago, especially during the 1960s and 70s, and how the musicians themselves were active change agents here in Chicago, and how what they did was so in along the lines of the black empowerment movements of the 1960s and 1970s, and how the music reflected that, and how they created changes leading up to the election of Harold Washington, who you and Josephine were just talking about.
Mm-hmm. Okay, go ahead. I'm with you. Go ahead.
Okay. And, you know, I of course, speak about Curtis Mayfield, the Dells, Chaka Khan. I talk about the Shylights. I talk about what made their music original. I talk about how they spoke to the community, how they worked within the community. I talk about the growth of institutions like WVON and African American Radio and how that filled an important social and cultural role as well as an important business role. And I talk about what was going on the South Side and the West Side that made all of this happen.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Did you happen to know Major Lance by chance?
Well, Major Lance died before I was able to speak with him, unfortunately. I never met him personally. Of course, I love his music. And I did speak with the wonderful Johnny Pate, who did so many great production arrangements for Major Lance's records through his work with Curtis Mayfield.
Mm-hmm.
And at the very end of the book, I was very happy to say that Major Lance's daughter, Keisha Lance Bottoms, became mayor of Atlanta.
Okay, okay. Now, what can you tell me about Brunswick Records?
Well, Brunswick was very important because that had the ascendancy of Carl Davis. And Carl Davis was such a prominent person as a producer, as an executive. And then, of course, there on 1449 South Michigan Avenue, they had their whole recording workshop going on with these great arrangements by people like Tom Washington, and they were the home to such great groups as the Shylights and Lost Generation, and the hits that they created just spoke so well about the times that they were from and living in, and that it was a very, very important company to have an operation in Chicago.
Okay. What do you know about the five stair steps? Because I'm going to tell you a story about them.
Well, the five stair steps, of course, Curtis Mayfield was their great mentor, and of course he helped, you know, bring them along to the fame that they had later. And of course, you know, a great family from Chicago. His father, we lost the patriarch of the father of the family not long ago. Chicago policeman brought them to Curtis Mayfield, or to Fred, you know, Fred Cash, who brought them to Curtis Mayfield. But it was a great example of passing on the knowledge, passing on the tradition, passing on the culture, the way Curtis Mayfield directly mentored them was such a beautiful thing that happened here in Chicago.
Mm-hmm.
The Burke family.
Do you know how Curtis Mayfield died? Do you know the story on him?
Well, I do know that he was afflicted with diabetes, and of course his very tragic accident that happened in 1990 in Wingate Park, where he was, you know, left a quadriplegic. But that, combined with his diabetes, took a number on him, and it was very, very just a sad way for such a beautiful, beautiful man to go.
Let me ask you this: did you know he had a drug problem?
Well, I don't talk about that in the book. I know that that's brought
okay,
up.
Okay, let's not sugarcoat something. And the reason why I bring that subject up is that Curtis eventually had a drug problem, and at that time, rap music was just coming about. And some of the early rappers said, Curtis Mayfield, we grew up listening to you. We love you. They made him come out of that hiding, and they put him on a concert because they wanted him to come back because these young rappers that grew up listening to him. And the very concert that they put him on is that's when that scaffolding fell.
The Wingate Park concert in Brooklyn, 1990.
No, so you know what I'm talking about. And speaking of that, what about Heavy D and how his situation was?
Well, Heavy D came in later. My book ends in 1983 with the election of Harold Washington and the rise of house music. So people like Heavy D are, you know, later on in the book. I don't talk about much after. I have a little afterward where I talk about Chicago in more recent years, but things like the 1990s are completely outside of my book.
Mm-hmm. Okay, what do you know about Mick Jagger and Willie Dixon?
Well, I do know that Mick Jagger certainly owes the Dixon family a heck of a lot of money. I can tell you that much. I think people like Willie Dixon, although, you know, Willie Dixon sued groups like Led Zeppelin and, you know, got some money from them. It was nowhere near enough compared to what they owe people like Willie Dixon. And I think one of the things I wanted to get across in the book is how much money is owed to these great creators of the music here in Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Recently I had Cicero Blake on my show. Are you familiar with Cicero?
Yes, sure. I spoke with Cicero, yes.
Okay, well, what happens there is that a Hollywood agent heard my show, and Cicero has spoken about the concerts he has done and the music he has recorded that he's never gotten paid for. And this young lady heard that on my show, and she happens to be an agent for Kevin O'Leary from Shark Tank. And what she said was that they're going to start a new show talking about people who have done things and never gotten paid for it, and they wanted to bring Cicero on to talk about that. I want you to hold on for a minute there. We're going to see if we got Al Carter. Al Carter, are you there? Al Carter Bay, are you there? Okay, who else we got,
Candy?
So,
I guess if he's calling out your name, please press 1 on your dial tone phone so then we'll know in the back office and we can go ahead and unmute you. Al Carter?
Okay.
Yeah.
Have we got him?
Not yet, but I would just keep going. You do have another guest on the line.
And who is that, dear? Who is it?
Aaliyah. Aaliyah's our friend.
Hi, very good. How are you doing? Hey, sweetheart, how are you?
Good, thanks. How are you?
Oh, okay, everything is great. My talk show is called Just Chicago. And with Just Chicago, just never know who may be coming on our show. And now I got Aaliyah. Aaliyah has political aspirations, and I'm going to let her tell you exactly who she is. But she's the new breed. She's the new breed. And when you get young people like her, we as elders need to walk behind them and be an advisory to them. So, Aaliyah, tell them a little something about you and what you're doing.
I'm running for state representative in District 52 of Illinois. Right now, I know you touched on the COVID-19 crisis and how it's affecting small business. I do feel that this is becoming a larger issue, and I feel that what we aren't discussing right now is the correlation between people's health and how quickly this is spreading and why the focus is more on closing down business instead of building people's health up. That's what I want to present to you tonight, and I want to get people thinking about that conversation instead. The real conversation needs to be, why is Medicare for All a conversation that keeps getting dismissed and put away?
Go ahead, sweetheart. I'm listening. You got a platform. So that's what
I have for people tonight. I want you all to think about why we don't discuss immune response to disease. A pandemic could be anything, but what we're not discussing is our ability to cope with disease, the lack of vitamin D, the correlation between having more vitamin D and health, and other discussion
that should be the case instead of jumping to a vaccine.
Mm-hmm,
what we have here is a vaccine and a mask and shutting down business.
Let me ask you this. How do you feel about wearing a mask?
Well, you know, if a health expert tells me that wearing a mask reduces the risk, I don't mind, because when I step out, I understand we have to social distance, keep ourselves away. But people are, you know, have issues with the mask. In their minds, they feel like it's a level of control or domination by the government. I don't see it like that. I see it as a precautionary measure. But other precautionary measures include building our own health systems, talking about the types of food we should be eating, how we should be eating, and moving towards better growth of food locally than importing from, you know, external places. I do believe that we need to shift the discussion a little bit, and that doesn't happen.
Okay, let me ask you this here. This 52nd district that you're running for office, what office is that you're running, and what's the per capita income of that community? What's the population ratio-wise?
The average community here has an income base of, you know, $100,000 to $200,000. It's predominantly white. We are waiting for the census 2020 results to come. So the you know, what we have is, in terms of statistics, might be changing. But,
okay,
you know, a lot of people here do live far apart. They don't feel the need to want to wear a mask or shut down business. A lot of people are asking why a small business is affected, and yet you can have a big business which has more traffic in it, and those are still open as mandatory places that are required. These
mm-hmm.
People are questioning a lot of things that they're being told, and, you know, it's an interesting time that we're in right now. But people are politically divided on this issue a lot.
Okay, let me ask you this
here.
What are the actual platform that you're working with? What is it that you want to institute that's not there?
Well, I want to talk about health care and, you know, getting back to having Medicare for everybody, or the option to elect for private health insurance. I think
mm-hmm.
this is a conversation that needs to be discussed, especially minority groups seem to be more affected. And I think the reason is because of access to health care. People don't know about their immune systems, period. A lot
okay,
of people
so-
could be, you know, suffering from diabetes, and diabetes people are at higher risk when it comes to contracting COVID-19.
Okay. So once again, give me three of the things that you're working with the most that you hope will get you elected.
Well, I'm talking about safety and security. People need to know that they're safe and secure in the environments that they live. I'm talking about trust and issues. Okay, people don't have trust in the government. 3 out of 4 people that I questioned seriously had trust issues with the government, and that shouldn't be the case. And then we get back to, you know, keeping it green and checks and balances. We need everything. I'm not overlooking any area of what needs to be instituted within the state of Illinois.
Okay, how are you looking so far?
You know, it's interesting. I'm finding at the polling places a lot of youth is showing up to vote, and a lot of people that are, you know, elderly that can even barely walk are managing to get
mm-hmm.
out of their car, pulling up and walking to deliver their ballot.
Okay, very good.
I've never, ever seen an election outcome like it is. As cold as it is, as difficult as it is, people are struggling with income, and, you know, people really need to vote on the issues and for the candidates that really care about them.
And that's you?
Yes.
Okay. Listen, we're going to take a break for heaven's sake, and we're going to be back with some more conversation. Candace, give me some music there while we talk about something.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Once again, ladies and gentlemen, if you're with me, this is Jess Chicago. I want to welcome aboard my new hair sponsor there, Good to Grow Hair Product, where you can purchase online.
Of you crying, brother, 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 there's far
Candy.
Too many of you dying. You know we've got to find a way to bring some love in.
Are you experiencing hair thinning at the hairline or balding edges due to waves, weaves, or protective styles? Then the Good to Grow Edge Resuscitator is for you. Good to Grow's complete hair growth system strengthens the hair from the follicle, stops breakage, promotes thicker, fuller, and healthier looking hair. Good to Grow helps repair existing damage and protects against new damage from styling. Good to Grow works underneath wigs and weaves to nourish and soothe dry and itchy scalp. Good to Grow's all natural ingredients for men, women, children, relaxed or naturals, all hair types and styles. Get Good to Grow today at goodtogrow.com. That's good, the number 2GRO.com.
Okay, Candace, are you there?
I'm back. Yeah, I'm here. This is a very good show. And so your other guests. Well, you know, if you want to say something, press 1 on the dial tone, so that way, you know, we'll be notified, and we can unmute you if you want, if you have something to say, callers. If not, go ahead, Mr. Pearson, you keep going.
Well, until we get another call in, I want to just talk about a lot of things are starting to happen for me, a lot of things starting to happen for our media that we're working with. And what I want to say is that I've never mentioned this since I've had the show, that I was in the hospital a couple of years back, and I had some major surgery. And by me being popular, my room stayed full with visitors and everything. And while I was in this rehab, I'm watching other people there. Nobody never came to see about them. And I said that when I get out of here, I'm going to make sure that I get an organization that will come see about seniors in these senior buildings. And that's where I started my nonprofit organization, a 501c3. And it's called the NBA, National Betterment Association. I'm at the Bank of America, and I'm asking everybody to donate $7. $7. I'm asking everybody to donate to me $7. That's a dollar a day. And what that will do would allow me to get coloring books, coats and underwear. As you know, living in Chicago, our weather changes quite often. And so we got a lot of seniors that just need somebody to come by to talk to them, talk about where they come from, what high school they went to. You know, after the doctors do what they do, just having some company and somebody to talk to is like medicine. So I have a 501c3, National Betterment Association. That's the name of my organization. I'm at the Bank of America, and I'm asking everybody, would you please donate just $7 to my nonprofit organization so that I can work with these kids and work with these seniors. Also, I'd like to tell you a little something about myself. You know, I've been in the whiskey business 40 years, running nightclubs, Tiger Lounge, known for famous Tiger Lounge, Sweet Georgia Brown. I ran Sweet Georgia Brown, and I ran it for a guy named Bobby Chappelle, who was history, and we had gotten it from another guy that I was very familiar with by the name of Ray McCoy. And by the way, Ray McCoy, that's the father of Lisa Ray, the actress. Her father was murdered, and once he passed away, Lisa always was a hair model, and she wanted to be an actress, so she went on to Hollywood. And to honor her father, she took her name from being Lisa and named herself after her father, which is Lisa Ray. So, you know, once again, we have a lot of black history in Chicago. I want to see us become more supportive of one another, and I want to see our city come back to the glory days that I saw it at. So that's where I'm at with that. And I'm asking, I don't normally ask for help, but I'm asking for help this time, along with the fact that I have recently been offered the opportunity to do a TV program, almost like what we're doing now, where we sit around the table and talk about political or whatever issues may come aboard. So we got that on the drawing board and looking to be in the next 30 to 40 days, maybe having us a TV program. So we got a lot of things moving on. Candace?
Well, yeah, that is true. That is true. I remember when we first were introduced, and I had you on my show just there with Candace, and I spoke with you, and one of your passions was creating a different light on Chicago. I remember, you know, and it's changed since the radio show. I've seen a different, I guess, news. The news is not portraying it as, you know, a lot of corrupt, like a corrupt city. It's not, they're not doing that anymore. So I think your show has, is a great platform, and it's doing what we set out for it to do. You touched on the casting director, which is a friend of mine, who I linked you up with. And so, you know, we have that in the works, and we're also going to go ahead and work with you to put together your show. So we do have a lot of things going. And I do see a lot of great things happening from us working together. So let's just keep that momentum going.
Okay. Now, have we got anybody else on the line?
If you want to say anything, you know what, Clifton? If they want to say something, they'll press one, and I'll let you know.
Okay.
When you hear the doorbell ring, I'll let you know. But
okay.
I would just keep going.
So in the meantime, well, I want to go back to Ed and let him tell some more about his book and about the music industry here in Chicago, because believe it or not, this is where music comes from, right here in Chicago. Ed, are you still with me?
Oh, yes.
Hello? Okay, tell us more about the music industry that you know about.
Sure. Well, as I talk about, and by the way, my name again, for those who are just tuning in, my name is Aaron Cohen, and my book
Aaron,
is
I'm
Move
sorry,
On
thank
Up.
Yeah, thank you. Mm-hmm.
Move On Up, Chicago, Soul Music and Black Cultural Power. And one of the things I talk about the music industry in Chicago is that while we had these large companies, Brunswick, and then there were the large independents like Chess, there were so many independent startup operations, especially in the 1960s and 1970s. And they might have been small. They might have just been releasing a few singles here and there. They might have been releasing albums. But the point is that the entrepreneurial spirit as a way of empowerment was so present in the music industry, and people, oftentimes musicians, taking it upon themselves to start their own operations. And I think that is something that is still around today, but there was a real explosion of it back then.
Okay, but let me ask you this. With this pandemic going on, what kind of effect is that having on our musicians and our nightclubs where we have live entertainment?
Oh, it's been terrible. I mean, it's been awful. Musicians are out of work. Clubs are closing. It's very hard for people to be together, and so the pandemic has just been, it's just been a terrible thing for musicians. The whole music industry in Chicago, everybody's suffering from this pandemic.
Okay, are you familiar with Holly Maxwell?
Oh, sure, good friend of mine. Yeah, love Holly.
Okay, well, you know, Holly is putting together a foundation and a fundraiser for these. Right. So we all need to come on board with that. Me, as a concert promoter, as a matter of fact, I'm involved with a concert November 27th. We bring in Grammy Award-winning Bobby Rush. Okay,
oh,
well, we can't bring him in. Yeah, we can't bring him in, though, if we can't have our venues open. So it's really important.
Well,
that's why I have masks. I have masks that I will give away. Okay, because people, if you wear these masks, then we can go back to some sort of normality. But these people are not wearing these masks. And it's just a trickle-down effect, what this pandemic is doing to the nightclub business, therefore the bartender, then the DJs, then the musicians. Everybody is suffering from that. So I'm asking the people to please, please wear your mask. And
people, we need to take care of each other.
Yeah, you got to take it personally. It's not about you. It's about the guy next to you at this point in time.
Mm-hmm. Exactly.
Now, some of the places you've been, tell me some of the places you've been and what it's like to go to those various places.
Well, I haven't been outside of my home or, visiting my family in the last 8 months. So, I go grocery shopping.
Now, where do they live?
Oh, my parents, they live in Evanston.
They live in Evanston. Mm-hmm.
Yes. Okay. And I live in Chicago. I live in Albany Park, but you know, we just go to the grocery store. That's really the only place we go to, or we go to Walgreens, you know, get our medicine. But we wear our masks everywhere. We wear gloves. We went, you know, when we went to vote, and we wear goggles. You know, we really feel that it is important to take care of each other at this time.
Okay, Blues, et cetera, and all those clubs along that way, where are they at now? What's the status of them as we speak?
I don't know about the Blues clubs. I haven't been to the Blues clubs. I do know that the Jazz clubs, Green Mill, Constellation, the Jazz Showcase, they've been having streaming concerts, viewing them online. And I know that they have limited seating. I haven't gone to any of the concerts because I just don't want to be in a closed room unless, you know.
I mean, it's just that important right through here. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, but I've been watching.
Now, how do they make money off of that?
Well, that I don't know. I don't know how they're staying afloat, but I just wish them all the best. I wish them, you know, in getting through this because we need everybody. We need everybody to live, essentially.
Now, you're a musician yourself, right, Aaron?
Well, I used to play piano, but not very well.
Okay. So what are your basic interests in music? Where do your background come in?
Well, of course, you know, growing up in the Chicago area, and there's so much, as you know, wonderful music here, so many varieties, jazz. I was an editor at the jazz magazine, Downbeat. Blues, as we just talked about, gospel, wonderful. Different kinds of international music here in the Chicago area. So I think if you grow up in the Chicago area with ears, you know, you should be a fan of the music.
Okay, so you're talking about your book not only being about music, but it's really about Black Chicago history.
Well, that's the important thing, yes. I do want to, because there were other books about the music that did not talk about the historical changes, and I felt that one of the things that's so important about Chicago is, as you know, the history of what went on beyond the music. You know, again, with the Black Power movement, with the Black Panthers, Nation of Islam here in Chicago, all played a part, and I really felt that it was important to bring that into the story of the music and how the music developed and how it changed. The Chicago school system, what was going on in the public schools, what was going on in the city colleges, all of this had a role in shaping the music.
Okay, Hannah, how do you feel about the movie they just came out with the Chicago 7? How accurate is that? Because when
I haven't seen
that
movie
actually
yet.
Happened,
yeah.
Okay,
I haven't seen it myself, but I lived it.
I was right there on Rush and Oak when it started. Okay, I'll never forget it. I was driving downtown Lakeshore Drive because it was going on, the weathermen and all this. And so I ended up being on Rush and Oak Street. And all these policemen was everywhere in the restaurant and everything. And next thing I know, they just came running out of the restaurant. And it just all hell broke loose. I'll never forget it as long as I live. And Bobby Steele, the whole nine yards. And the bottom line is they wreaked havoc here in the city of Chicago. And that's where Mayor Daley made the famous speech of shoot to kill. So
right.
I actually know how that situation really happened from there. And as you know, Chicago is such a segregated city then and now. So how do we bridge the gap for that? How do you think we bridge the gap through that? Is it through music or what?
I hope it would be through music. I think one of the things that was really important about music making in Chicago was that at its very best, it showed ways in which African Americans and whites were working together in some capacity. A lot of times in the studios, recording studios, you had white classical musicians, white folk musicians, working with African American R&B musicians, and you had you know, white rock musicians and black soul musicians on the same bill sometimes, Baby Huey and the Babysitters, Rotary Connection, and so I think that it showed that there was bits of hope for that, and I don't, you know, we can look into the future and hope that once we get through this pandemic that we get through it and go back to that hopeful time, but I really wanted to give credit to the people who are trying to make a difference and make our city a better place.
Okay, well, I got one more question to ask you before I let you get away. What happened to Sam Cooke?
You know, I mentioned him in passing in the book because my book deals with the period after Sam Cooke left Chicago. I want to give you what I think was that you know, it was a cover-up. I think, you know, law enforcement and other authorities in Los Angeles have been for the last whatever, how long it's been since he was killed in the early 60s, they've been covering it up. And I think that the truth needs to be known.
Okay, very much so. And one day the real truth will come out. But once again, Aaron,
yes.
I appreciate you calling in and talking in with us, you know. And
well,
hope we get back
so
to you
soon.
Thank
you for having me on your show. It's an honor to be here.
Right, thank you. It's an honor to have you. Okay, thank you very much. Candace, have we got anybody else online?
Yeah, I do want to say that Axe International Artists, we are hiring. We're looking for engineers that can take over and run the engineer board. So anyone that's looking for a job, feel free to give us a call at 1-800-378-8119, extension 805. Leave us a voice message. I also want to talk about my book on here. You know, I was in Chicago, and I had a great a book signing that Mr. Cliff put together, and we had Hollywood, we had the Canon Media come out, and my book, Dreamland, is out, and I wanted to give people a little bit, you know, the access to buy the book. It's www.dreamlandnovel.com. It's about a psychologist from out of Atlanta, Georgia, who's commissioned to go on an island with other scientists to search the Cormanti tribe, which is a true African tribe. And when she gets there, she meets an island ruled by women. And it's not what you think it is. You have to read the entire book because to really get the gist of the story. So I want to give everyone the ability to check that book out. We are in the middle of making it a movie. It's quiet as kept because I don't want to give too many my ideas and talk about it because I know how Hollywood is, but it is being made into a movie. So look out for that so you can see the characters on the film, and which is going to be a great sci-fi for the family. That's all I have to say.
Okay, how can I get the book, though, Kim? I know I have some copy for anybody needs.
Oh, yeah, you have copies, but if anyone wants to purchase the book, they can purchase it on any of the platforms, Amazon. You can type in dreamlandnovel.com, and it'll come up, and you can buy it on Barnes & Noble's and any of the anywhere, the platforms out there that sell books. We also have a personal website with dreamlandnovel.com. You can purchase the book there. You can buy the ebook or buy it loose leaf. Yeah, people look out for the movie. I'm excited about the movie because Hollywood is really excited about it. I'm getting a lot of calls and interest, and we're going to start casting the movie in a few weeks. And so look out for that. So anyone that's interested, go ahead and call my office, my company. You can call 1-800-378-8119 if you're interested. We do need music. So I know Chicago is the home for a lot of, you know, music and talent. So anyone out there that has music they want to submit to be on the soundtrack, feel free to contact us as well.
Well, let me ask you this. Do they have to be part of the union? Do they have to be union members?
Yeah, this is going to be a SAG budget. It's going to be a SAG budget, so you have to be union.
Okay.
Or
now,
if
when
you're
you
not
come
union,
back to Chicago?
We can tap. If you're not union, we can tap partly UN, which is something that we typically do if we really want to have you in the movie. So I wouldn't let that deter anyone or discourage anyone from auditioning.
Okay. Well, once again, it's come that time to be Chicago, the world. I want to again thank everybody for tuning in to Just Chicago, my talk radio station. And we always have something to talk about. I hope that's interesting to everybody. And next week, we're going to talk about, I'm going to have a psychiatrist on here, and we're just going to talk about mentally, what has this pandemic done? What has this isolation done? You know, when you control the head, you control the mind and the body. So we're going to talk about how this has been affecting us and where do we go from there. So it's going to be about healthcare. I'm going to have a nurse on here talking about what's happening in these hospitals with this health care and things of that nature. So next week is going to be our health situation. I'm going to bring back Naomi because she had a lot of things to say. But I've been listening to her ever since she was on our show a couple of weeks ago, and she was talking about sleeping with the television on. And since they're being on the show, I no longer sleep with my television on so that my mind can completely rest, because the mind is a terrible thing to waste. Candace?
Yeah, that's true. Health and fitness, to add to that, is very important. So I do, you know, encourage everyone to get out there and exercise. You know, exercising to get your heart rate up, it does wonder to your mental and your state of mind. And so, I do encourage people just to exercise. If you can't go to a fancy gym because it's closed right now during COVID, just jog. That's what I do. You know, get some fresh air.
Yeah.
And, you know, the healing, there's healing in outdoors. There's healing in the trees. There's healing in that sort of thing. So
yeah,
I know in Chicago, the weather is changing.
Yeah.
You can still go out there and work out and dress accordingly. So I do second that. But yeah, we got to go. We're out of time.
Well, I tell you what, drop on that commercial we got for Good to Grow Hair Products. And those of you that want to be models, that want to represent Good to Grow Hair Products, get in touch with me, get in touch with Candace, and be one of the models. You never know what may happen. And we're in a weekend trip for two right downtown in one of our top-notch hotels. That's it. We're gone.
Are you experiencing hair thinning at the hairline or balding edges due to wigs, weaves, or protective styles? Then the Good to Grow Edge Resuscitator is for you. Good to Grow's complete hair growth system strengthens the hair from the follicle, stops breakage, promotes thicker, fuller, and healthier looking hair. Good to Grow helps repair existing damage and protects against new damage from styling. Good to Grow works underneath wigs and weaves to nourish and soothe dry and itchy scalp. Good to Grow's all natural ingredients for men, women, children, relaxed or naturals, all hair types and styles. Get Good to Grow today at goodtogrow.com. That's good, the number 2, GRO.com.
Wake up! It's time for Just Chicago's Neighborhood Talk with Clifton Pierce, a Canon Media and Axe Entertainment Artists Inc. production.
Fly me to the moon, let me play among the stars, let me see what spring is like on Jupiter and Mars. In other words, hold my hand. In other words, baby, kiss me. Fill my heart with song and let me sing forevermore. You are all I long for, all I worship and adore. In other words, please be true. In other other words, I love you.